This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Van Hipp to the show, Chairman of American Defense International, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Reserve Forces and Mobilizations, and former Principal Deputy General Counsel of the Navy, former Chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party, and author of The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It. Van, welcome. How are you?
Jason, doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. So we have been talking about terrorism for so long now, it seems like maybe this topic has been talked out. Has it not? Or is there a lot to be concerned about?
No, it hasn't. You know, when I first wrote this book and was talking to potential publishers, some of the big guys said, oh, that's just old 9/11 stuff. No one cares about terrorism anymore. But my book was really the first book to address ISIS and the threat from radical Islam in terms of it being, I use the word dispersion. I think of Al-Qaeda as an organization that so many of these groups have come out of, ISIS and Boko Haram and so forth. But I say, Jason, that we live in a more dangerous environment and world than the day after 9/11. And one of the things that's driving it is this. Technology is changing so rapidly, and that can be a good thing. But our government is so stovepiped and lacks the ability to analyze and adapt and respond. So really, as the technology increases, threats are increasing exponentially.
So what does it mean when you say stovepiped?
Like Department of Homeland Security doesn't always talk to Department of Defense. So that maybe, let's say we're talking about a potential biological attack on the country. The Department of Health and Human Services has one program. It's called BARDA. We talk about it in the book, the Biological Advanced Research Development Agency. They can develop great therapeutics we need. It could be Ebola, some other type of hemorrhagic fever, a pandemic event. But the people who have the training and the tools to be able to respond quickly are at the Department of Defense. What good are all these therapeutics and all these things we need for people to survive if it's locked up in a warehouse somewhere, and when a catastrophic event takes place, we don't know how to get it. We don't have the right logistical mechanisms in place to get it out to the people. So they're stovepipe. They're all thinking in their own little areas and not talking to the others. And that really, I got to tell you, the 9/11 Commission, I think, said it best, said that 9/11, above all else, was a failure of imagination. We were always responding to that last attack rather than thinking outside the box so that we can prevent the next one.
So what is the biggest threat then?
It's a combination. I say the one threat that the country is the most unprepared for is cyber warfare. It's like death by a thousand hacks. Those too big to fail banks back in 2008 have only gotten bigger. And I think our financial institutions are vulnerable. And what I do, there are a lot of things that we can do to counter that, prevent it, and I'll give you a couple. Our best experts tell us that we need between 20 and 30,000 true cybersecurity experts to thwart the worst kind of cyber attacks on this country. We've only got 1,000. We need a massive recruitment campaign. I call for the establishment of national security scholarships for our very best and brightest computer science and data security majors on our colleges and universities. We need to fight a preventive war, I mean, go after known cyber terrorists. We need to plant booby traps from a cyber standpoint, like the country of Georgia has done against Russia. And then here's one key point. We have to distinguish between different types of cyber attacks. What the Chinese do is more about espionage. They're trying to steal our intellectual property. And every year, there is more theft of intellectual property from our universities and businesses than all the intellectual property in the entire Library of Congress.
You actually classify intellectual property theft as terrorism? Never heard it put that way.
Economic terrorism. And then also, though, look at what the Islamists do. It's more about sabotage. They're trying to take down our systems. So it is important to distinguish between the two biggest threats cyber-wise we have facing this country, because they would require or do require different countermeasures.
Are you saying then that cyber is the biggest threat more than bombs? And
I would say it's the one we're the most unprepared for.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, ISIS is here in this country. Radical Islam is here in this country. Our own FBI director tells us he's got open files in all 50 states of America right now, looking at people with potential connections to ISIS, because we saw it happen in Chattanooga, but we shouldn't be surprised. The FBI director's predecessor, Robert Mueller, testified to Congress a few years ago, and I talk about this in my book, The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It, that back in like 2011, I think it was, we apprehended 59,000 people from countries other than Mexico who were legally trying to come to this country across our borders, including countries like Iran, Syria, Iran, Pakistan, Yemen. Well, my question is, where are the ones that who we didn't catch? Where are they today?
That's a good question.
And what are they doing?
Yeah, I talk about that on my financial shows all the time. You know, you can't hear the dogs that don't bark, and that's exactly what that is. What about the ones we didn't catch? Very good point. So what do we do? What's the action step here that needs to happen?
Combination of things. I think we have to define the threat first for what it is, and it is radical Islam. Make no mistake about it. And I give a historical...
But that's not politically correct. I mean, you know, you can't blame a whole religion for a few bad actors. I would agree with that philosophically if the nice Muslims that I knew were like outraged against this stuff. They're just so quiet about it. It puzzles me. I don't get it.
Good point. And I would say two things. First of all, when we do have moderate or reformed Muslims who step up to the plate and try to take the fight to radical Islam, like King Abdullah of Jordan. Now, I've known King Abdullah for 20 years, back to when he commanded the Jordanian Special Forces. He's a real deal. And he has complained to our Congress that our State Department is putting up roadblocks and won't give him all the things that he needs to take the fight to ISIS.
Why are we doing that? I mean, in this country, are we just... Do we have this, like, self-loathing president that hates America? I mean, what... I don't get it. This is like... The fact that it's actually controversial that someone like Donald Trump says we should close the borders, that, like, blows my mind that that's actually a controversy.
Yeah. After we know that terrorists are coming across these borders, I talk about it in my book. Do you remember a few years ago, all this stuff about, you know, anytime one of these cartoonists draws a picture of the Prophet Muhammad, one of these imams puts out a fatwa on him, wants to kill him, calls for assassination. It really started a few years ago with the Danish cartoonist Kurt Westergaard. The imam was Saeed Jaziri, who was banned from entry into Canada, banned from entry into France. I talk about him in my book. Well, guess what? We caught him. We caught him in the back of a trunk of a BMW trying to come across our Mexican border. They know how to get in this country. But something you said earlier, Jason, is right. About political correctness. I say in my book, political correctness is actually killing us. Don't forget, Nadal Malik Hassan, the Fort Hood terrorist army major, the FBI had intercepted 18 emails between him and Anwar al-Awlaki, the head of al-Qaeda in Yemen, and did nothing because of political correctness. Political correctness is killing us. Back to King Abdullah, I mean, my gosh, by the way, he's a direct descendant of Muhammad. Who better to take the fight to these guys than someone like him? I would give him everything he needs, give him the green light, and let him go.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, but we're not doing that for some odd reason, because we want to shoot ourselves in the foot.
He has publicly complained. He has complained to our Congress about that. He's come to our Congress and said, let me tell you about your State Department, the roadblocks I'm running, and I'm an ally of yours. I'm one of the few over there that's trying to take a fight to these people. And y'all won't give me what I need.
Crazy. Tell us more. Tell us about some of the other threats.
Other threats? I talk about the electromagnetic pulse threat. It is a very real threat.
EMP. So which kind of EMP? Is that a bomb-related EMP, or is that a device-related EMP, or a solar flare, or what? Or all of the above?
I talk about all of them in the book, and I say that there's very strong evidence. I believe that the North Koreans already have an EMP. We talk about that. The Russians bragged about it to members of our Congress who were visiting the Duma back in the early 90s. They said, hey, if we want to take you out, we know we can't beat you in a conventional military operation. All we've got to do is fire an electromagnetic pulse warhead. That's why missile defense is important. We have no land-based missile defense capability tonight or today on the entire East Coast of the United States.
Don't we just have some Patriot missiles, or do the Patriots only work on the lower scale missiles? I mean, those won't work on an ICBM, right? Probably.
Right. Yeah. If you need real, what we call these missile interceptors, you need the silos, you need a land-based system. Now, what I talk about, what are things that we could do as a gap measure? And why I mention the East Coast right now, we've just cut a deal with a terrorist regime known as Iran, the guys who really invented the suicide bombing with little children back in the 80s, sent 80,000 of them to their deaths with suicide bomb vests. That's who we're cutting a deal with. We're going to let them continue. We'll have a program at some point that will deal with intercontinental ballistic missile, ICBMs, and yet we have no land-based missile defense capability for the East Coast. It's like we have a death wish. I mean, it just defies logic. But we're cutting deals with people like that. But back to EMP, the Russians, North Koreans, very strong likelihood they both have the capability right now. But then I say, if you don't believe what I say, at least listen to what NASA says. NASA says it is inevitable in the next 10 to 100 years that we will have another Carrington event, another geomagnetic storm on the face of the sun. Last time we had one was 1859. But guess what? In 1859, the American farmer could grow enough food to feed the American people without electricity. You can't do that today. So EMP is a big-time threat. I talk about border security. We go into great details. I mean, it's ludicrous that the Department of Homeland Security's own inspector general says that the sensor technology that they use has a 95% false alarm rate, yet we've got sensor technology 10 times, 100 times better than that with U.S. military. Why aren't we using the U.S. military sensor technology? We go into great detail there. I'm not worried about just worried about bad people coming across our border. They're coming all the time. I'm also worried about bad things like radioactive substances coming across, detailed ways that we can prevent that. Our harbor and port security, remember, when you're dealing with these radical Islamists, it's about inflicting harm, economic harm on our economy, too. You take out one port, one harbor on the East Coast or West Coast of this country, you've inflicted major economic damage on America. And we talk about the things that we need to be doing as far as port security is concerned. We need to do periodic surveys of the seabeds. They've got underwater IED devices. You know, good and well, they would want to plant those in our ports and harbors. Again, we got to think outside the box.
For an IED to work underwater in a harbor, that'd have to be a pretty strong IED, wouldn't it, to cut through the water and damage a ship?
Yep, but they have these types of devices. In fact, I remember British intelligence reported this a few years ago, where was strong evidence that the North Koreans had actually sold this technology to Al-Qaeda. So those types of things, unfortunately, do exist. I'll talk about aviation security. These man-portable air defense systems, there are probably 6,000 of these things right now.
Talking about like the threat of using a Stinger missile at an airplane like that.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, though. Look, like I said at the beginning, hasn't this subject been talked out? I want to play devil's advocate with you for a moment, Van. If they really wanted to get us, wouldn't they have done it already? I mean, there have been so many opportunities. It sort of just kind of begs that question. I mean, it doesn't really make sense that maybe this terrorism thing is a something of a red herring, you know?
Unfortunately, it's growing in this country. And like I said, when the FBI director has admitted he's got open files down in all 50 states. And we're seeing with young people who can be inspired over social media and, you know, already have Islamist tendencies. And then you take someone like ISIS who knows how to exploit those. Jihadi John, who is one of the ringleaders of ISIS, he's got a degree with honors in computer programming. This is a very sophisticated and very savvy enemy. They're here in this country. We're seeing it. They're here in this country.
But do try and address my specific question. If the question is, and I hear this from other people, that's why I'm asking you, because you're an expert. If they wanted to get us, why wouldn't they have done so already? If you look at 9/11 or the first attempt on the World Trade Center in the 90s as the starting line, of course, there's always been a lot of Islamic terrorism long before that. I mean, look back to the Olympics in Germany, okay, in Munich, right? Been many hijackings and airplane-related things over the years, of course, over the decades. But if you look at that as sort of the start of this new war on terror, right, why wouldn't they have gotten it? I mean, it's been 14 years since 9/11.
We've been very lucky, number one. And number two, we have thwarted a lot of these attempted attacks. There have been a number of attacks, and the FBI has said this publicly, that they have successfully thwarted. And the FBI director recently said what he worries about now are the ones that they might miss. I mean, they know that they're preventing a number of these attacks right now. They're worried about ones in the future slipping through. That's coming directly from our FBI. I believe we've been very lucky. And then, too, don't forget the ones, where was the one a few years ago in New York was attacked, and the reason it did not go off was because the guy couldn't get the explosive to light. I actually document the botched attempts at terrorism in my book. We go through specific examples on U.S. soil of botched terrorist attempts because of the idiocy of some of these people. Thank God they're idiots. But right now, it's a much more, as time goes on, this is a much more sophisticated enemy.
Okay. Talk about how a cyber attack would be achieved, what it would be about, because you say that's really one of the biggest threats that we're just woefully unprepared for.
And I'm very concerned because, you know, you take down a major bank, a major financial institution, those banks have gotten bigger than they were even during the financial crisis, and it's such a quick attack. I say that a bank could go down so quickly that the government doesn't have a chance to even get the thing back up and running. I mean, that's how quick this is. This will be very quick. I believe that a lot of the things that we're seeing probing type of actions from them. Now, as far as the Chinese, I mean, like I said, it's usually about espionage. They're trying to steal stuff, like they, you know, stole the Social Security numbers of 22 million Americans, stolen records on 4 million current and former employees of the United States government. And the government, our government announced that in June of this year. When did they discover that? In April. When did all that take place? In December, Jason, in December of last year. So that's how slow our government is to even know that they've been hacked and discover it. That gives me a lot of concern. But we can trace, and I called them out in my book, we can trace 90% of all Chinese hacks to two organizations. One is in Shanghai, one is in Beijing, and I call them out in my book. The Chinese, and they've got military ties to the Chinese military. The Chinese government says, oh, we have nothing to do with them. They have no connection whatsoever to the government of China. I say, great. It's time for some American leadership on the world stage. Let's call them out. And let's
say, you know, they used to say that one of the oxymorons, you know, along with jumbo shrimp, postal service, military intelligence. Now, I think American leadership would be an oxymoron, unfortunately.
I think you're right. But why not call China's bluff on the world stage? China? These are the two groups, the Elderwood Group and Comment Crew. You say you have nothing to do with them. China, we believe you. We're going to take you at your word. Please join with us in declaring both of these organizations as cyber terrorists, and let's go after them together. Things like that. We've got to take the fight to them on these kinds of things.
Any personal action steps? I mean, you're talking about governmental stuff, things that the government needs to do. Anything we should be doing personally?
Well, you know, the government always says, oh, you got to be vigilant, got to be vigilant. One of the things I call for, and I've spoken to emergency management directors at the state level. Now, this is government, but it applies to the individual. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. We need a situational awareness hotline in this country, completely separate from 911 calls. So when I see something suspicious, and this is particularly true with that soft target scenario that's so hard to defend against. So when I see something suspicious, I could in real time text a photo of that to a centralized database that could hopefully connect the dots and respond quickly. If everyone was doing that, that's how, if you remember, when they had the terrorist attack, that lone gunman in Norway, so many kids' lives were lost. I've got friends in Norway, talked to them. I talked to one girl who talked to one of the girls who was hiding in one of the bushes, and she was able to use Twitter to tweet out, and again, this is more like situational awareness. She was able to tweet out, and that's how some of the local people came on boats to help rescue those kids before the police got there. We need a situational awareness hotline.
That's a great point. I mean, we have a 911 system. That's been great, I assume. I think it's been a big success compared to maybe, you know, the alternative. Why don't we have a system like that? It's a really good point.
It's a failure. I think that's a failure of not only the administration, and it's a failure of Congress. I mean, Congress needs to hold the administration and the Department of Homeland Security accountable. Emergency management people at the state level want something like this. So again, what I do in my book, these are basically common sense, practical recommendations that just make sense. I'm trying to sound the alarm and get them out there and get the debate going. But most of these are common sense solutions that would work and would greatly improve the safety and security of this country. But individual, back to the individual, good question. I believe that 2016 will be the most important election of our lifetime. To me, it's a miracle that we've survived the last 6.5 years of this. I believe that this is the last chance we're going to get to really take this country back. And the reason we have a federal government, the reason the states came together, was to provide for the common defense of the American people. We need a commander-in-chief who will keep us safe so that we can remain free. People have got to get involved, and they've got to hold their elected officials accountable.
Give out your website. Tell people where they can find out more about you.
Go to thenewterrorism.com. You can buy it there, or you can buy it right on Amazon.
Fantastic. Well, Van, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.